You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to the Top 25, Under 25, a new episode. And I'm very, very happy to be able to welcome Bridget Sands from Harvard, from the Harvard Crimson, senior at Harvard. And I'm feeling very, very low key here because I only went to like top 20 university in the world and you're going to like the top five. So you're the smart one here. You're on FanDuel as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. It's been a really cool opportunity to follow the Harvard men's hockey team for the last two seasons. And anytime anyone has any questions about any of the guys, I'm more than happy to reach out and share my, I wouldn't say expertise, but kind of experience with them.
Well, you're an expert. You're there. What are you majoring in?
I major in applied mathematics with data science, and then I have a minor in computer science.
That explains what you did last year when you were with the baseball analytics staff, yeah?
Yeah.
Geology here. You know, I used R a little bit, but not more than that. We're going to talk about number 15 on our list, Sean Farrell. You've seen him from in close and for a long time. What can you tell us that maybe we don't know that follow Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, Sean is an incredible player and also incredible human being. Nicest guy on and off the ice. Always the most welcoming when I have the simplest or more complex questions after the games. And when I see him out and about on campus, always says hi. As soon as we lost in the playoffs to Ohio State in the first round this year, I was immediately sad because I knew that he and four other people actually on our team would go sign immediately. And that would be the end of his Harvard career. But I think everyone kind of knew coming into the season that he would turn pro at the end. So we kind of savored it.
And what a season he's had. Amazing. The highlight reel has been going all over Twitter. What stands out to me, because I watched quite a bit of it, I didn't realize how good of a playmaker he was.
Oh, yeah. Sean was our first, our top left wing on the team. And he played on the first line with Zachary Karpa in the center when he was healthy. He had some injury issues, so he wasn't as consistent in the lineup. Zach is one of the two incoming captains of the team and a prospect of the New York Rangers, as well as the right wing of Matthew Coronato of the Calgary Flames. Something that I think goes unnoticed with the Harvard roster is a lot of the guys have done juniors, obviously, but with that have done juniors for the USHL Chicago Steel. And Matthew Coronato and Sean Farrell were two guys who played together on the Chicago Steels. And so during this COVID year, they had that experience of bonding. And now they also are both from the Northeast and are not unfamiliar with each other, but the true chemistry and dynamic duo that Farrell and Coronato ended up developing is almost unmatched in collegiate hockey. They knew exactly where they were going to be on the ice all the time. And if Farrell wasn't the ECAC MVP, I think that Matt Coronato was definitely in the running. So the two of them were an unbelievable duo that always had each other's backs and knew how to set each other up for the success of the other.
Really, really interesting. We know another part of a dynamic duo what happened at the draft when Farrell was picked and Cole Caulfield just went, that's the steal of the draft. And he's risen out of the ashes, really, into the Montreal fans' knowledge as well. Looking at Farrell, we got the playmaking. The hand-eye coordination is fantastic. He can use his hands and wrist from in close. So it's always a danger. It's not, he can really lift the puck from short distances straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets there with his fantastic skating. Turns is something that you see. Edges is something that you see. Has he been working a lot on that after practices or specialized evening practices?
Well, so Sean is unique in the way that in the last year and a half, he's had an incredible amount of unique experiences. Last year he was a sophomore in college, but got selected to play for the United States in the Olympics. And then after the Olympics and returning back for the end of our season and leading his team alongside Coronado and a couple others, last season as in 2022, he was then selected to represent the United States again at the Worlds. And then he had another year of Worlds this year. So here's a kid who has played a bunch of collegiate hockey, but has also gotten the exposure of USA development more than most. And so he's been able to see the contrast of a collegiate kind of playmaking versus a more advanced, not more advanced, because Coach Donato is one of the best coaches in NCAA hockey. He has so much care and consideration for his team, but it's a different perspective when you're bringing in guys, when you're developing a team over a year versus picking out players for weeks at a time for representation for Team USA. And Farrell's had the contrast of these different experiences and different practices. So he's been able to kind of figure out what he can do to develop his skills to put him over the top relative to other players. And the big question with Sean is his height, right? And this is a way that his skating is a way that he's kind of been able to I hesitate to say make up for it, but there are some bigger guys in the league and in general, and his gracefulness skating and what he can do with his skates and how he just he's a beautiful skater. But that is really how he kind of makes up for like the question of like his size.
Yeah, his size, obviously he's always played against players that has been bigger though, so for him it's not much of a change. The change will probably be the tempo and the power and the fact that these guys have played in the league for 10 years or 5 years and gotten adapted to it. And skating will be one of the huge parts that he will survive in that league.
Oh, totally. I think it's a big advantage for him. And I think that people won't really expect it. I mean, you kind of even saw in like his first few weeks with the Habs at the end of last season, he was all over the ice. And even with his first goal, he was able to create an isolation for himself, and he got a lucky tip off of I'm forgetting the goalie's name, but his pads into the back of the net. But he got there. He created that opportunity with his skating by getting that advantage and kind of taking his opponents off guard with his like quickness and slyness.
Looking at something that usually is being hampered upon when it comes to smaller players is their defensive game and how will they be able to face these big forwards. He's a great forechecker in the offensive zone. He can use his hands to steal the puck and poke check away the puck. But how has he matched up with college players who's also a fair bit bigger, and some of them are seniors as well, in the defensive zone?
Yeah, so Harvard had one of the top power kills or penalty kills in collegiate hockey last year. And look, we had some really great defenders on our team. Henry Thrun, who made his debut with the San Jose Sharks at the end of the season. He was our captain last year, or one of our captains last year. And our power kill was very, very skilled. But just as Sean is fast, his stick handling and his ability to kind of get his stick in places where a player might not expect gives him the upper hand as well. So the combination of his speed and stick handling, his stick handling kind of creates an element of surprise defensively that might take some players off guard. He knows how to forecheck for sure and is not afraid to hit. But I think his upper hand will be the stick handling and speed.
He played with the Habs just a couple of games at the end of the season. We're looking towards a season with a lot of players on the NHL contract and needs waivers to go down to the AHL. Obviously, Farrell doesn't. Would you think it's a loss for him to start in the AHL rather than the NHL? Or is it just a part of his development in his mind?
I don't know. I think that the Habs... Look, the Habs didn't have the season that they wanted to last year. This year, they've made some improvements relative in the offseason to get them into a better place than they were last year. Sean made his debut for the Habs for a reason last year, right? I think that his end goal is obviously to be a consistent player in the NHL. And I think he will do whatever that means, whatever it means to like make that happen. He is a very determined player. He and Coronado would take practices very, very seriously. And he will, I'm confident he will have the same approach to his upcoming professional season. And just because he isn't, I mean, he's had some unexpected picks. He'll say it himself. He didn't expect to be picked for the Olympics. He didn't expect to be picked for the world's roster that first year. But he was. And that's because of his talent and his mindset. And I think that he will bring the same kind of approach. He just wants to make himself better relative to his goal. And that will happen, which I'm confident he will end up contributing to the Montreal Canadiens, whether it's this year on the NHL roster or in the years to come.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
I'm stealing this quote from the hockey writers, and I'm going to read it, and you can agree, and you most likely will agree. Sean Farrell, to me, is a very heady player. He's phenomenal. He knows how to read the ice. He's playing chess, and everyone else is playing checkers. For me, this guy is going to be very, very special. He thinks the game. He has elite tools, like his shot, which is actually underrated. He can wire things. He is an elite passer. He knows how to reload, create speed differentials, how to attack two checks to suck in multiple defenders to free up options for him and to move pucks into the area that is among the best that this player, this guy has actually seen. He can really manage the puck very well. And this is his strong suit. He's also very good on the power play. And this is from Montreal Canadiens development coach, Adam Nicholas. So it's high praise indeed.
It's truly because I was abroad last fall. I only covered the team in the spring. And I did know that Sean would probably be leaving us at the end of the year. And so every time the top line was on the ice, I made sure to, especially during the power play, anytime our first power play unit was out, it was really like, rather than analyzing the hockey, I tried to enjoy it as much as I could, because those boys were very, very talented, and it was really something special to watch out there.
Is there a risk, and you obviously risk averse working in math science, that he becomes sort of a power play player where maybe you see him more on the power play than anytime else?
I don't think so. Our top two lines, the second line being led after he came back from injury by one of our other captains, John Farinacci, who was prospect of the Coyotes, but is opting into free agency in 10 days. Those two lines played far more than our bottom two. Even so, Sean topped 50 points. I think he finished our year with 53 points. And in all of collegiate hockey, he was in the top, I think ended up in the top four people or players with average points per game. That being said, those 53 points didn't all come from a power play at all. He was very well versed in every different component of the game, whether it be defense, whether it be offense, power play, power kill, breakaways. The kid, he's like, I can't say enough about like how much I'm going to miss watching him next year.
Well, there's the TV, you know.
Oh yeah, no, when he signed professionally, I'm a big Bruins fan myself. I texted Sean and I said, I'm a huge Bruins fan, so I can't root for the Habs, but I'll always root for you. Because I'm just so excited to see all the places he'll go.
Yeah. We all have that, you know, player that we always root for, even if they're in the wrong team.
Right, so, exactly.
So there is that. Do you think his college career translate well into NHL in regards to that question, where will he become a power play specialist at NHL level, or do you think he has the same kind of trajectory and confidence to play all zones in NHL as well?
I think that is kind of going to be relative to how he stacks up when I think he's going to have to prove that, relatively speaking, in the NHL. I think, in any player development, coaches are going to make the call that they think benefits the team the most. I think he certainly has the capabilities to be more than a power play, just kind of player. But like, if even I know it's not the NHL, but when he was representing Team USA in the Olympics, he led the team in points. I think he had a hat trick in one game. I think he had a hat trick. That's a big asterisk. I know he had like 3 goals, 3 assists, I think, overall. But and he performed well at Worlds too. I think he totally has the capabilities. It will just be if he can utilize them, and it's kind of up to Sean. And if, from what I know as Sean as a player, I know that he will try to put himself in every opportunity to be more than a power play player.
We looked at it. I've asked my colleagues at Ice on the Prize, and most of us think that he will end up in the AHL, partly because of the waiver situation, partly because of at least everyone is going to start injury free this time in right. NHL. And obviously it also means that you showcase players for possible trades down the line, and you don't want to trade Sean Farrell. We know that. So you showcase the one on an expiring deal. What kind of expectations would you have as a Habs fan? And I'm sorry, you have to be a Habs fan for about 5 minutes now. but if he goes to the AHL, what kind of point production, what kind of system, what kind of trajectory should we look for?
Yeah. So I have to admit that I'm not as well versed with the Habs prospect pipeline as I should be. So relatively speaking, I know that he's high within the prospect list. So I assume if he gets an opportunity at the AHL, they'll utilize him to the best of their ability. And hopefully that means that he's on one of the top two forward lines. I think that something about Sean is his point production. His assists always kind of outweigh his goals, which is kind of that is because, as you have said multiple times during this talk, he's a playmaker, and he knows how to set up his teammates. And so I think that he'll really settle into his, hopefully he'll settle into that role as said playmaker. I don't know what the Montreal AHL team is called. I apologize.
Laval Rocket. They played in Laval for a few years now. I think it's smart as well, going off track, and sorry to interrupt, but to have the team more or less in the same city as your NHL affiliate, I think it's a strong setup. You can.
Oh yeah, that's what the Bruins do too. Providence is like an hour and a half away, not even 45 minutes if you're lucky. but no, I think that Sean will make the most of any opportunity that he's given. He's proven that he's capable of doing so time and time again, from the Olympics to his season in 2022 to his season in 2023 at Harvard, and the Worlds. He will settle in and really be a contributor. He's got a really exciting future ahead, and I don't know, Habs fans should be really excited about this one.
Well, we already are, and he's 15th on the top 25 under 25, and that includes the NHL players that are under 25. Two, I would say, first round picks then in the last 2 years. We mentioned the Olympics, we mentioned the Worlds, and sometimes we think that it might not matter as much. For me growing up, because I'm so old, so I remember the Russian Five. For me, the Worlds was always a big thing because we didn't have, you know, NHL coverage.
Right.
On that note, how important was it to get into and maybe play against these, how should we say, second division pro players?
Yeah, no. Another thing that's really cool about the Worlds this past year is not only was Sean selected to be on the team, but his other partner of his dynamic duo, Matthew Coronato, was also on the team. And they played on the same line for most of the time at Worlds. And Team USA, if I'm remembering correctly, went undefeated in the pool rounds, ending up losing in the bronze medal match, which was so disappointing after such a strong performance earlier.
But it was against Latvia, though, so everyone else was supporting Latvia.
Oh, yeah, because that was their first medal in the Worlds, right?
Yeah.
That's fair. I'm a little selfish there.
We all are.
Yeah. And not only were Coronato and Farrell on this roster, but so was last year's captain, Henry Thrun from Harvard. So I think that it was really cool for Sean and Matt and Henry to all kind of have this experiments with two of their other teammates and have the exposure to play amongst second tier professional NHL guys. And I think that all three of them also had a very good tournament. If you look into their stats and like look into their, like how their plus minus, they all did very well. And so I think that it probably gives all three of them confidence going into these next professional years for them, as it should.
One player that was on that team as well, we have to mention it, is obviously one of your other rivals and double rival maybe now, Lane Hutson, because Boston University.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
can you say a few words about how it is as an opponent to watch Lane Hutson?
Oh, yeah, no, he is nasty. We play BU. Surprisingly, BU is not on our schedule this year. But one thing about that BU team is they always come ready to play. We play in the Beanpot tournament every year. And I call it like the kind of mid-season, it's a little past mid-season, but it's really a preview to playoff hockey. This year we ended up losing in double overtime shootout to Northeastern, led by Devin Levi of now the Buffalo Sabres. Lane Hutson is, he's the real deal. And every time we go into a BU-BC Northeastern game, even if it's not necessarily the Beanpot, as a reporter, that's when me and my co-beat writer will both come to the game, because not only are we excited to cover it, but we're both excited to watch as hockey fans as well. Because relative to the other ECAC teams in our division, I mean, Quinnipiac, just having won the Natty, they're very legit, always have been, always will be. And so is Cornell. But when you get to these like Hockey East games, you're excited because it's going to be some of the best hockey of the season. And all of BU kind of brings that. And Lane Hutson, really great leader among that group.
Leadership qualities, not the ones we hear about most in regards to Lane Hutson, but great yeah. Insights. we don't see that much, and you should be happy not to play BU maybe on the schedule this year, because Tom Villander coming in from Sweden is going to be a stud as well.
I'm excited to hear that. Maybe we won't. Hopefully, we'll get a bid somehow to that NCAA tournament, and who knows what happens there.
Bridget, thank you so much for joining me, and sorry for me being late, obviously.
Oh, no worries.
I want to give you a shout out. You have your Twitter handle.
Your
Twitter handle ready?
It's at Bridge Sands, BRIDGSANDS. And yeah, I'm here back for the entire season of this upcoming collegiate season, and definitely will be active on Twitter, especially for the Bean Pot, which actually we might end up facing BU in that tournament. But as of now, I don't believe they're our first round. Always excited to talk about any of the guys, and Sean, he's a great one.